Praised be Jesus and Mary. First reading says, after taking counsel, the king made priests from among the people who are not Levites. Whoever desired it was consecrated and became a priest of the high places. This was a sin on the part of Jeroboam, for which it was to be cut off on the part of the house of Jeroboam, for which it was to be cut off and destroyed from the earth. In 1994, Blessed John Paul II came out with an apostolic letter, short but important, which in the eyes of many made him go from the Papa Buono to the Papa Cattivo, from the good pope to the bad pope. It was one of those documents, and he came out with relatively many that, you know, changed in the eyes of many, you know, his appearance, his reputation from good to bad. What did he say in this letter? The Pope writes, although the teaching that priestly ordination is to be reserved to men alone has been preserved by the constant and universal tradition of the Church and firmly taught by the Magisterium in its more recent documents, at the present time, in some places, it is nonetheless considered still open to debate, where the Church's judgment that women are not to be admitted to ordination is considered to have a merely disciplinary force. Wherefore, the Pope continues, in order that all doubt may be removed regarding a matter of great importance, a matter which pertains to the Church's divine constitution itself, in virtue of my ministry of confirming the brethren, I declare that the Church has no authority whatsoever to confer priestly ordination on women, and that this judgment is to be definitively held by all the Church's faithful. The Church has no authority to confer priestly ordination on women, and this judgment is to be held definitively by all the Church's faithful. Now, debates and dissension may continue, and we'll hear about these, you know, for years to come. But the Church's teaching is clear, remains clear, because the Church does not create or invent the sacraments, but receives them from our Lord, who instituted them according to his will. Again, John Paul II, citing Paul VI, states, and we'll be jumping back and forth between two documents, the 1994 Ordinatio Sacerdotalis and the 1987 Mulieris Dignitatem, on the dignity of women. Citing Paul VI, John Paul explains, the Church holds that it is not admissible to ordain women to the priesthood for very fundamental reasons. These reasons include the example recorded of Christ in the Scriptures, choosing his apostles only from among men, the constant practice of the Church, which has imitated Christ in choosing only men, and her living teaching authority, which has consistently held that the exclusion of women from the priesthood is in accordance with God's plan for his Church. So the fundamental reason why women may not be admitted to the priesthood is not discrimination on part of the Church. The Church is not a human creation. It is divinely instituted and constituted. It is not discrimination on part of the Church, but rather the example recorded in the sacred scriptures of Christ choosing his apostles only from among men, and the teaching authority, which is consistently held that the exclusion of women from the priesthood is in accordance with God's plan for his Church. And in the Church, it is the priests who represent Christ, head of the Church, Christ, son, not daughter of the Father, Christ, son, not daughter of Mary, Christ's spouse, sponsus, not sponsa, of the Church. So then, does the Church deny women their right to be ordained? No, because ordination is not a right. The priesthood ordination is not a right for anyone, neither woman nor man, but rather it is a call from God who chooses us and not the other way around, from God who calls us and he calls whomever he wills. But just on the topic of rights, John Paul II writes, in our times, the question of women's rights has taken on new significance in the broad context of the rights of the human person, and it's not a bad thing. Rights should be recognized. But the question of women's rights must not under any condition lead to the masculinization of women. In the name of liberation from male domination, the Pope writes, this puts this letter in quotation marks, women must not appropriate to themselves male characteristics contrary to their own feminine originality. There is a well-founded fear that if they take this path, women will not reach fulfillment, but instead will deform and lose what constitutes their essential richness. And again, Blessed John Paul II, the fact that the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God and Mother of the Church, received neither the mission proper to the apostles nor the ministerial priesthood clearly shows that the non-admission of women to priestly ordination cannot mean that women are of lesser dignity, nor can it be construed as discrimination against them. Rather, it is to be seen as the faithful observance of a plan to be ascribed to the wisdom of the Lord of the universe. You know, Our Lady was not ordained a priest, but she was far more than a priest. It is not too much to say that the priesthood is possible only because of Our Lady, because in the present economy of salvation, our redemption depends on Christ and on Mary. She has been associated by Christ to his work of redemption. And a priest is merely a minister of the graces of redemption acquired by whom? By Our Lady with our Lord. And a priest is a minister of the subjective redemption, while Our Lady acquires with our Lord our objective redemption. So the priest distributes her graces, the graces that Our Lady acquired for us. Now, how could the priest be able to nourish the faithful with the body of Christ if Our Lady had not made that body in her immaculate womb? How could a priest renew the sacrifice of Calvary at the altar during Mass if Our Lady had not offered her Son to the Father on Calvary itself? Our Lady precedes the priest and the priesthood. We can ask ourselves, how could a priest forgive sins without Our Lady, who, as Pope Benedict XV in 1918 states very clearly, Our Lady who so suffered with and almost died with her Son, suffering and dying with her Son, that she can be said rightly to have redeemed the human race with Christ, under Christ, subordinate to Christ. Our Lady has redeemed the human race with him. It is her grace that she and her Son acquired together that a priest distributes. And Our Lady's greatness comes not from her trying to affirm herself, trying to fight for her rights, not trying to take the place of her Son, High Priest and Redeemer. Our Lady's co-redemptrix, not redemptrix. She redeems us with Christ, subordinate to Christ, alongside Christ, fulfilling her role as the new Eve, alongside the new Adam. Just as Eve was created for Adam, so was Our Lady created for Christ. As St. Paul reminds us, it is, woman that's created for man and not man for woman. And Our Lady fulfills that role perfectly, and gives us the greatest example that woman should follow. All generations shall call her blessed because God has looked upon her, her as his handmaid. And it is the mighty one that has done great things in her. So if women are to achieve that fulfillment of which Blessed John Paul II spoke, it must be an imitation of Our Lady. Like St. Clare was such a devout, such a devotee of Our Lady that she became called icon of the Mother of God. Women in general too are to realize the plan of God, the plan God has for them in his church, by uniting themselves to the priesthood, not by ordination, but not by being ordained themselves, but by their prayers and sacrifices, and above all, by their spiritual maternity, something which a priest does not have. A priest cannot be the spiritual mother of souls because he has to be a spiritual father. In conclusion, we firmly believe and profess with Pope Innocent III that whoever, without a previous episcopal ordination and a valid ordination, because the valid matter for the sacrament of the priesthood is and remains a baptized man, and a lay woman remains a lay woman after her ordination just as much as she was before. So whoever, without an episcopal ordination, believes and presumes to be able to offer the sacrifice of the Eucharist is a heretic, a partaker of, and consort of the perdition of Korah and his accomplices, and must be separated from the Holy Roman Church. Pope Innocent III. So the debate and the protest may continue, but the Church has no authority whatsoever, neither today nor in the future, to confer priestly ordination on women. And this judgment, if we are to remain Catholics, must be held by us and by all other people that want to remain in the Catholic Church. Praised be Jesus and Mary.